Hi and welcome to this podcast. My name is Greg Marshall and I'm the Vice President of Global Programs for the Flight Safety Foundation. Today I'll be interviewing a colleague, Mark Millam, about our Global Safety Information Project, otherwise known as GSIP. Mark is our Vice President Technical and the GSIP Project Lead. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Hey, Mark, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your background within aviation.
Sure. It's primarily centered on support of the airlines. Years ago, just after getting out of college, I went to work for an airline in the U.S. In the state of Minnesota, and worked for them for quite a while, Northwest Airlines. Well, it was actually a couple of airlines before it became Northwest, and then ultimately it became Republic, then Northwest and Delta. And so after serving with the airlines for nearly 30 years, I left Minnesota, came to Washington, D.C., and have been involved with support of the airlines through special lobbying advocacy, and now with Flight Safety Foundation for a little over a year.
Okay, that's great background. Thanks for that, Mark. So tell us a little bit more about the GSIP project, its origins, and what the project is all about.
Sure. Well, GSIP, G-S-I-P, stands for Global Safety Information Project. And it's an effort of ours to study and understand what the world is doing as it relates to safety data collection, safety data processing, data information sharing, and information protection. And we are aiming to take what we learn from the rest of the world, and we specifically focused on two regions of the world right now, Asia Pacific and Pan America. But out of those two regions, to better describe what are some of the more effective approaches to doing the work that's really the foundation for SMS risk management. And so that's a lot of what it's about. We're a couple of years into it right now. And, you know, we've been starting to really kind of develop what we think might lead to really useful toolkits for the industry.
Okay, very good. So in so many industries now, data is king. And we're all taught to use that data more and more to make things more efficient. So what is it with GSIP? Is it more promotion of just using more data?
Well, using it, yeah. But, you know, with any industry, when you just sort of go and collect some data, novices can take that data and come to some rather odd conclusions. We want this to be an effort where you're focusing the data on the stuff we already know from years of study on accidents, and then backing up to stuff that we are already forced to share through mandatory occurrence reporting, and then harnessing all of that data that's contained in the safety management systems. And it includes things like voluntary data reporting, flight data monitoring activity, your existing audit and inspection processes, operational data, special research that might be done by other organizations, and, you know, pulling that all together so that we really can make sense out of that and talk about what's really most useful in the industry to get to effective risk management.
Okay, sometimes we've heard in some industries that this is just a ploy to get us to all to submit data to the government in the interests of safety. Isn't this just creating the big brother approach to government?
Well, not if you protect it and de-identify it in the right way. And that's been done in many places around the world. And you know, I understand the concern that maybe airlines have with regulators having their hands on data that could be used against their organization. If you're an airline out there and you don't want bad publicity, you know, you're probably going to be suspect about something like this. We've seen all kinds of websites and special attempts to rank airlines on their safety, and airlines definitely have a heightened sensitivity to this. So look, you know, the commercial airline industry is almost without argument the safest method of transportation out there. Safety is reported in many ways, but, you know, one time I did a calculation that was based on departures. And, you know, I said, if you're, you know, probably the businessman that travels the most, and you were out there taking one flight a day, day after day after day, you know, where would you eventually reach the probability of 100% that you would have faced an accident? And you know, on average, with the results of, you know, everything in commercial aviation, it would take you 145,000 years. Now, that's just an insane number.
Wow.
But, you know, that's what the math says. So that just sort of tells you how rare it is. I mean, sometimes it's not enough just to say, you know, it's rare to the point of being less common than, you know, being struck by lightning. So today, very, very few of the airlines have a shady history or have hurt or killed any of their past passengers because of errors and mistakes they've committed. Yet they still will defend the slightest implication of what they're doing is any less safe than anyone else out there. Who can possibly survive in an industry that's had any hint of being anything but the most aggressive zealot for safety? And any passive activity in this area could be seen as weak. And the stats for safety don't really matter. There will always be some story out there where there's somebody suggesting danger for passengers, no matter how small that risk gets. So your question isn't this just Big Brother coming after us disguised as something for safety? Isn't the regulator just out to find the industry and punish them for what they're doing wrong just to make themselves look tough? You know, I can't speak for every regulator out there, and certainly there may be countries where the economy and the stability creates more fear for many organizations and survival. But I know the advanced regions of the world are learning more about safety data without needing to know who had the close call, who was the pilot involved, who was the controller, who was the technician. You know, in a world where news reports surface on leaks of supposedly confidential information, this can sound crazy to an outsider. But what we've seen is getting more heads together to share the results of special non-fatal events works. Sometimes it doesn't have to be directly with a regulator. ANSPs are sharing data there with airlines. Airlines are sharing it with other airlines. Airlines are sharing it with their partners. Airports are sharing it with airlines, you name it. And some of these venues are sharing aggregate results and not detailed event specifics. And lastly, don't forget, if there's some operational data that's freely available to the public, which means the government has that information anyways, you know, it's there to be used. And FlightAware is a website tracking for real-time operations on commercial and general aviation all over the world. That position data for these flights is already in 3D coordinates. So if you think you can somehow opt out of the whole data business, well, it's just too late. You might as well explain what you know and work side by side with the regulators who are willing and help and able to help you out and make your operation more safe.
Don't we already give some information to the government that could be used that is public information? Why can't we just use that?
Yeah, well, I mentioned some data that's public, and many countries do. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is a mandatory report that you're to give to the regulator, and little of that data is summarized and shared back with the rest of the industry. And, you know, part of this project is
to suggest that there may be more and more we should share in these mandatory reportable occurrences. Some civil aviation authorities will put out annual safety reports. They'll talk about what accidents have happened, where, what some of the primary causes are. And those countries that have a dedicated accident investigation organization usually do a really good job on the accident results. But this may not be enough data to provide focus to the issues that need improved performance on future accident rates. Even the last 5 years and history on accident causes might not be good predictors of what the next 5 years might see.
Hmm.
So, you know, with the introduction of safety management systems, which now has been out there for 10 years and going, we've had all kinds of organizations measuring their own performance and setting targets for what gets improved. The standards for how that process is run and what gets shared are definitely of interest to the regulator, but it's not rolled up into any sort of top-level summary. And that's because in SMS, not everybody's measuring exactly the same thing. Not everyone sets the same objectives, the same targets, and that's by design. This gives an airline the chance to manage its own destiny and safety performance. It changes the role of the regulator, and now the regulator is evaluating whether the airline is managing SMS effectively. And they're looking at, are improvements actually getting made? Are they finding new hazards effectively? Or are they solving past issues and keeping the risk down? So with SMS, airlines and regulators alike have the incentive to look across at each other's operations and in order to solve some risks that couldn't be done on their own.
I guess what I'd like to know is, you know, if I wanted to know what or wanted to make sure that my regulator or my National Aviation Authority is really aiming in the right direction in terms of improving risk, you know, what should we ask them?
Well, first of all, I'd ask them, you know, what's the focus of the country on their safety performance indicators? What indicators have they found most important? Some may not have even gotten that far yet. Ask them how they're going to decide that. Could there be collaboration with the industry on setting these indicators? And if they already have them, is there alignment with the organization's goals and targets? What are they looking for that maybe you're not? Could that be important to you? What could you suggest of them? You know, we've based a lot of our work on promoting Annex 13 and Annex 19 and all the standards that are contained within. We think all the focus on performance should be driven by broad accident categories that are already summarized in some reputable public information. And ICAO and IATA and our own data that's done in cooperation with Ascend and the Aviation Safety Network are good sources. We recognize there's an evolving maturity in managing risk that is and should be scalable, just as an SMS must be scalable. And, you know, going back to your question, I would find out how they're using and sharing and what they're learning about the maturity of SMS and its solutions, and how that shaping the structure of SMS in their industry, and ask them, you know, how is this helping to reduce risk in the country? Mm-hmm. And it might help you to steer you in the right direction for your own SMS.
So, Mark, what if I don't believe that my National Aviation Authority or regulator has the bandwidth to really do much in this area? What can I do about it?
Well, there are other partnerships that can be formed. You know, it's sad to hear that, but it's entirely possible in some areas of the world. We know ICAO has a big push to make sure that regulators get to an appropriate level of effective implementation on ICAO safety standards. And I can understand that many governments are trying to respond and to push this. But it could mean that there isn't the ability to start or manage new groups and share safety information, conduct extensive analysis, at least broadly. But, you know, every country, every organization, even with their SMS, has to start somewhere. And it may start with some of the smallest groups. It may be something organized by industry and the regulators invited. It may be something that just starts by getting organized in conjunction with another venue that has the operational support of similar players. You know, when I was at the Regional Aviation Safety Group in Panama City recently, airlines were beginning to discuss methods on how they could share, how they could define some things on safety performance indicator and then share rates that they know that they had already collected. They knew it was going to take some time and effort, but realized it may be worth undertaking even if they didn't know how they were going to get organized right now. So some of these things can start small. They can start with a group of people that are already doing a work in a specific area, and you'd be surprised how much has taken hold in some places of the world.
So this next question gets down to an area of concern within some parts of the industry. You know, some regulators don't believe they are doing their job if they sit down with other stakeholders and just talk about the data and what it might mean. What if they actually take the information that's provided to them and then go on a witch hunt?
That's a great question. You know, we think there are appropriate agreements that can and should be formed before you get too far down the road on some of the safety data exchange and discussing materials that might be in voluntary safety programs. And I know there's places in the world where there's no programs for an organization's voluntary disclosure to the aviation authority. And if the regulator finds out about a regulatory violation, there's no other option for them other than enforcement. And I know this is also complicated by some transparency laws in some countries. It can make it quite difficult for a regulator for them to participate in sessions where there's risk of exposing a regulatory violation. You know, we focused part of what we're doing in GSIP on information protection within this program too, so that civil aviation authorities might consider some appropriate foundational materials that allow for better safety data exchange. You know, some of these might start with temporary agreements, just so that you can start practicing, demonstrate some knowledge, and gain information that can be shared prior to implementing something more permanent. So we realize without solid agreements between stakeholders that highly sophisticated data exchange really isn't possible. There's just too much to worry about in terms of liabilities on both sides. Yet, you know, we realize everybody has to start somewhere. Pilots in many airlines probably are not too comfortable sharing their safety reports with their company even until there's some commitment that that report's not going to be used against them. And I think we're going to see, you know, some of the same things happen between companies like airlines and their regulator.
So what's next for the Global Safety Information Project?
Well, we've done a lot with two regions of the world, Asia Pacific and Pan America. We think there's good things going on there, but we do want to spend some more time to validate the work we've done so far with some of the world's leading experts. And by this, I'm thinking of, you know, some of the airline or aircraft manufacturers, some of the key airline safety departments that already have had an SMS for several years, some ANSPs in the world that are pretty mature in their practices of SMS, and find out from them, you know, is what we're suggesting in our understanding of SMS maturity match what they've experienced? Is what we see in the entirety of data collection, data processing, info sharing, and information protection as complete as it could be? And what are some of the next levels and complexities so we can really help to add value to the industry? We expect to do some more webinars, some workshops. Workshops are probably going to be in the Asia-Pacific region. We know we've had a few requests from folks in Asia Pacific, places like Indonesia, the Philippines, maybe even China. We want to continue to do some specific targeted validation of what we've constructed so far.
Great. Thanks, Mark. That was a great summation of the work that's been undertaken thus far with the Global Safety Information Project. Thanks for being with us on this podcast.
You bet. And if you really are interested in following this further, just remember we'll have continue to have a website that speaks to this. Go through the Flight Safety Foundation main page, and you'll find links back to GSIP and announcements and continuing updates on that.
Great. Thanks very much, Mark.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening into this podcast. If you have any ideas for a podcast, or if you have some information that you think would be of value to share with the global aviation safety community, please let me know by dropping me an email at marshall@flightsafety.org. And don't forget, our International Air Safety Summit is being held in Dubai between the 14th and 16th of November this year. This will be followed by a one-day seminar on Friday the 18th of November, which is going to be held in New Delhi in India. And this is the first time the Flight Safety Foundation has been involved in India, and we're very excited at the prospects of this seminar and our future involvement there. Until next time.